Welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is episode 110 for September, what day is it, 25th of 2018. On tonight's panel, we got Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
We've got Shannon Brazil. What's up, Shannon?
Hello, what's going on?
Not much. And WC Nick Stubber, you hanging in there?
Well, you know what? There's a black fog. I tried to get rid of it. It might take a couple of days. Losing the Longhorns has put a fog up over my whole situation here. So,
well, you know, Dubber, you did say at the beginning of the season that we should hope that Texas becomes relevant.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to, but I also said the only game I don't want them to be relevant with was us. But you got to watch out what you say because it comes back and bites you. Yeah. And it did come back and bite me.
Well,
yeah.
Let's before we get into the Texas game, and we've got a lot to say about that one, Ryan, how did volleyball and soccer do this week?
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you. So, unfortunately, soccer lost to West Virginia 2-0 on Sunday. So, but they are still 7-2-2 overall, 0-1 in the conference. So, or 0-1-1. Sorry, it's weird. I don't like ties, but that's
have ties. That's
yeah,
soccer.
It's strange. Well, and I just realized the NFL has a tie because the Browns tied.
Yeah, I was going to say the only team that's happy with a tie right now are the Browns.
I know. I didn't even know you could have a tie. When did that change? But I'm fine with that because then you don't have to keep watching for like a whole nother hour. But anyway, so that's soccer still doing well. They're 5-1-2 at home and 2-1-0 away. Then we move on to volleyball. And the girls are 9-4 overall, 1-1 in the conference. So
they have a big game Wednesday night against Texas.
Yes.
I will be there.
Yeah, that's going to be a good match.
I will be there too. Be there early.
I will.
Yeah, there's not going to be many seats for that one. So if you're going to go, you might as well go early.
No, hey, they moved the time. I don't know if y'all know this. They moved the time to 8:00.
Oh, it's 8:00.
That's even better. Good.
Yes, because it's going to be televised. But so they said that it opens at 7:00. So you better get there early if you want a seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
All right. I'll get there. Save me a seat if I'm not.
Don't think I don't know my volleyball.
Sounds like you do, my friend. I love it.
So everybody get out there on Wednesday, 7:00.
Exactly.
Well, let's go over this past weekend's festivities, shall we? TCU goes, yeah, we have to do this.
You're going to call it a festivity?
I'm well, circus, maybe. How about circus? Circus sound good?
Funeral procession, something like that.
Not yet.
I know. Just one week.
Reports of the frog's death have been greatly exaggerated. So, byline from the weekend, obviously, Frogs lose to Texas 31-16 in what was a second consecutive week in which the Frogs just could not close it out in the second half. The Frogs end up going into the locker room at halftime up over Texas after what was a sloppy first half. And unfortunately, the wheels just continued to fall off in the third quarter and could just never get back on track. Guys, this was a pretty ugly game, and I know that a lot of us were hoping to see something different, but let's kind of go through this. First line I want to get everybody's opinion on, the first hot topic this week has been about the quarterback, Sean Robinson. Now, young guy, Patterson, even in his post-game comments, compared him to 2007 Andy Dalton. So I have a couple of questions about this. Number one, do you think that there is a difference between the way Patterson treated Dalton in 2007 and how he's treating Sean Robinson today? Dubber, what do you think?
I don't know if there's really necessarily a difference. I mean, Sean's going to make mistakes, but boy, when he makes a mistake, it's a big mistake. And that's probably what's hurt Sean more than anything. You know, it's one thing when you give an interception, but when you give a pick six, he's given two pick six, he's given a fumble for a touchdown, and that's a huge difference between him and what Andy Dalton did.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andy Dalton was prone to throw interceptions. I mean, every Frog fan remembers good Andy, bad Andy days. So my question, and I'm sorry, what was that, Shannon?
Yeah,
I said, and Boykins. We can't forget about that because for the both of them.
Yeah, we've had our share of quarterbacks that have turnovers.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I saw, because he did some things in that game that were really unbelievable. I mean, kept us in the game. There was a certain point in time when he realized our offense wasn't very good, so he kind of took it into his hands and did a few things.
Yep.
But at the same time, Sean's got to understand too, turnovers kill you.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in the game, but turnovers kill you. That's the lesson. And I'm sure he's trying. I'm not saying that bad. But, you know, hey, you cut the turnovers out, we beat Texas.
We beat Ohio State. Yeah, we're 4-0 yeah. at this point. Yeah. If the turnovers are even at this point. But right now we are at -7 over the last two games.
And I don't mean that he's trying to do it. I understand that, but you got to be conscious of it.
Right. So guys, this is what I would say. I really want to chime in on the quarterback issue because I believe everybody's forgetting about the high level offense that we're running.
Yeah.
The higher the risks on the offense, the pace of the hurry up system, all the receivers, all the weapons trying to give them the balls. When you have a young quarterback and meet him there, I mean, the company's coming place like he's doing. You're going to have these kind of issues with a young quarterback.
Yep.
High risk, high reward.
Yep.
So we cannot keep – and I get it. I don't disagree with the turnovers because that's just facts, right?
Yeah.
But the deal is the coaches have got to put him in better situations to win the ball games. Mm-hmm. To me, when you throw the ball east and west to pick up 3 yards, 4 yards, when you could have simply – when we're averaging 4 or 5 yards a pop running up the middle between the tackles, to me, you've got to understand – and you have to understand what you got. And so if we're going to be this team and run and have all this excitement built around the offense, it's with a young quarterback, we better be expecting more interceptions. It's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, and that's just what it is. So, yes, he's got to get better. He will get better because, as you said, we see glimpses of greatness coming out of this kid. We see it. And I'm with you because I told Sean, we saw the shovel pass. You know what he did? He didn't even look at that running back to pitch it. He took off running. You know why? Because last week we had, damn it. It almost got picked 3 every time we ran it.
Yes.
So he said, you know what? I'm going to be obedient and run this play, but I'm going to do it my way because this play sucks. And I agree.
I'd like to chime in on that. Shannon is – he's got it perfectly right. He hit it the head on nail. And I don't want to hammer Cumbie because I like Cumbie. But I feel like he could put Sean in some better – situations and what he has put him in. I mean, that's just my personal opinion. He's a young quarterback, and you know that the speed of the game and everything, blah, 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 and all that. I just feel like that there's been some certain times that he's put Sean in some position.
Well, I mean, no doubt about that. I
mean, saying that, I agree. I mean, I agree with what Shannon said partly. But I also have a question. Shannon knows because I know that Shannon's a little more in tune with the players and other things. What happened to Anderson?
Well, we'll get to Anderson in a minute because I
– Okay. I personally don't know. And so I'm hoping somebody out there knows. I mean, how a guy can fall off the face of the earth 1 week.
Well, we did see Anderson in the game, but we'll come back to Anderson in a minute. I know what you're saying. We'll pick on that next. How about
Shannon is totally right on what his assessment.
Let me hand this to Ryan here. Hold on a second. So I agree with both of you that Cumbie has put Robinson in a couple of bad spots, and you can't blame him for the shovel pass per se. As far as he wasn't the one who called the shovel pass, he just mis-executed it. And he's got to learn in that, and he did. You saw that immediate change from week to week. Shannon got that absolutely right. You can't really fault him for Bosa coming up on his blind side and stripping him in the end zone because, again, that was a bad block. Right. And it was Bosa, for goodness sakes. I mean, that's like, you know, trying to block Charles Haley in his heyday. You just
can't
do it. So, again, can't blame him for those two particular turnovers that ended up being points. However, Ryan, let me put this back on you here. So my original question, though, was not that, you know, is Sean Robinson a great quarterback or should he be starting? My question is, does there appear to be a difference in the way that Patterson is treating Robinson versus how he treated Andy Dalton? And maybe I have to kind of preface this a little bit with history lessons, but there was a time there in that stretch in his first year when Dalton was throwing picks, he got benched. And we didn't see that really out of Robinson for the last two games. Now, do you think that is just is that something that's going on here? Okay, go ahead.
I have a huge opinion on this. And so, I mean, it's been over a decade since we saw Andy Dalton. So Patterson has changed, I would say, in the last decade on, and all the coaches have changed. So we, you know, got to keep that take that into account. But I swear, and did anybody hear Patterson say this? I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe it was at his first luncheon. I swear he said, if the quarterback throws an interception, he sits out, next quarterback's in. And I was like, excellent choice. And so about the maybe the second or third interception of this game, you might have heard me yell. I lost my cool. I was like, put in Collins. I mean, not because anything against Robinson, he's our guy, but good Lord, he was having a rough game. And maybe, you know what, you can't blame it all on him, but the chemistry of that team on the field Saturday night was not working. So change it up, do something, but do not let that kid continually dig himself into a hole. And I don't know how mentally tough he is. I'm presuming he's extremely mentally tough, but coming from a coaching perspective, when I coached for 10 years, there are the athletes that you would just leave out there and say, you know what, you got yourself into this hole, you work your way out, let's see how tough you are. And then there's the other ones that were a little different, and you'd say, you know what, I'm going to pull you out, we're going to put you somewhere else because I don't want you, if this gets into your head, you can't recover. So I don't know what kind of athlete Robinson is. Obviously, the coaches do, and hopefully he bounces back this week.
Can I comment on this?
Go
ahead, Deborah.
Yeah.
Because I believe you're right in everything you say, but I do believe this week that Collins will get some snaps.
I
believe he'll get meaningful snaps. And I think he'll get them more for two reasons. One, just because if Sean gets hurt, we need him to get snapped. But two, I think that he probably wants to show Sean that, hey, you make turnovers, there's consequences. But don't get me wrong. At the end of the day, until Collins comes out there and I have faith in the coaches that they know what they're doing. Sean's an exceptional athlete, and Sean's an exceptional quarterback. I don't question his toughness. I don't question a lot of things. I think that everybody forgets he's a sophomore. And last year, when I kept saying I want to see Sean Robinson more, this is why I wanted to see Sean Robinson more.
I agree.
Because he's happened, instead of going through some of the growing pains last year, he's going through these growing pains this year. And I don't care how good you are, you're going to go through some growing pains as a young quarterback. And so I think we are going to see Collins, but I still think Sean Robinson is a future.
Well, let me say this. Let me chime in on this one. So I want to ask this question. If you guys, as you saw Collins come in, did you see anybody rally behind him? Did you see the mood change?
No.
Did you see anything happen different?
2 minutes left in the game.
I did see one thing, and that was the Turf Monster got some meaningful catches.
Right, and so you're on the same page with that. Yeah. What I'm saying is you saw what you saw, be it no time on the clock or not. And again, if there was something there, guys, we have a smart coaching staff, as we all love Gary Patterson. Yep. If they felt, I have to believe this, if they felt no matter how Sean's playing, our best chances to win, be it in third quarter, be it midway through, they would have put the guy in to bring to change the mood of the team, to change the dynamics of the game. They would have done so. And so for them not doing that, and then some of the throws that we saw when and Sean, we talked about this, no pressure. He's throwing that ball, it's going right into the dirt. So and I get it, but my thing is he has to be ready as well. And then on the confidence side of things, I believe in Sean, but because I know Sean, I know Sean's father. And let's not forget, he won a state title. He's played on high level before.
Yep.
And I watched that whole game. They were down. He single-handedly brought those guys back and won that title. So I put that on his shoulder. So he's a pressure guy. He can handle it. Now, I just think it's a dynamic of play calling, being young. It's a lot of everything. I'm not going to put this all on him. It's just right now, we're not clicking as an offensive unit. We have spurts, and we see those spurts. But after that, we just fall to crap. And we just seem to can't get it together after that. And
let me ask you a question. I'll ask you, Deshaun, Ryan, and Shannon. Shannon, I'll ask you first. Were you better at your sophomore year?
Missed the last half of that question.
Everything
Deborah.
Better.
Say that again, Deborah.
Shannon, are you better your sophomore year or your senior year, Shannon? I mean, to me, there's no doubt. I mean, because of the experience and everything. Yeah. Hey, Sean, were you better? I mean, you know, I know you played the band. Were you better your sophomore year or your senior year?
I tell you what, baseball in high school, I was definitely better my senior year. But
I'm just saying.
Well, I don't doubt. Sean Robinson has the skills. He has the toolkit. He's got the demeanor, and he popped back every single time, and he made some fantastic throws in that game. He made some throws that were just kind of like scratching your head, like who in the world was he going to on that? But at the same time, he made some fantastic throws. I'm not suggesting that he should be benched. I'm not suggesting Collins should get the start for a lot of the things that we were talking about before. I didn't see anything out of Collins that made me think, put him in. I want Collins to start. I want Robinson to start, but at the same time, there was a period during Andy Dalton's kind of growing up phase where Patterson, I mean, you could see it. I mean, he's in his face. He is just absolutely ripping into him, and he would bench you if you made a bad throw. Now, I don't know if this is just a situation where we're playing Texas, right? We're not playing San Diego State in this particular situation, right? So I don't know if this is just a situation that Patterson's like, Robinson is the best player for this particular moment, and we can't bench him,
but
regardless of what's happening, or if there's something else.
But and I don't think I answered your question.
Did y'all see? I saw Robinson thought he was going to go back out there, and I saw that Patterson looked at on the sideline like, oh, no, you're on the bench.
He got hurt, though.
He was hurt.
He got hurt.
I understand, but I also think that Patterson and I think it's a good idea. I think you need to give Collins some snaps. Now, I don't think there's a controversy unless Collins makes it a controversy. But
I didn't see anything on Saturday that would make it a controversy.
No, that's exactly right. But at the same time, the quarterback position in college is a tough position, and so I don't have a problem with that.
Oh, hey, wait,
Sean,
Shannon,
I'll answer your
Shannon,
question. I want to ask you a question. I don't think I answered your question. I was coming off of
what Deborah was saying.
Yeah, what Deborah was saying and Ryan. To answer your question about Coach Patterson treating the quarterbacks different, yes, of course he treats them different because the fact of the matter is times change.
Yeah, exactly
and
right.
We still remember the things we had to do. And as I'm watching practice last year before that, I'm thinking, wow, we would have got reamed or chewed or whatever if we would have done this or done that. Or, you know, tour days is different. Now these guys got more time. Things have changed. That doesn't mean he's not getting in his butt, per se, because we saw the picture that was floating around on social media where he's all up in his face. Coach Patterson, as they get older, these guys, they get, I'm not going to say softer, but softer. You know what I mean? And so and you have to deal with certain athletes different. There may be something in Sean that he sees that he has to just handle him different than he did Dalton.
Yep.
Because if you guys remember, Dalton kind of looked at you with this blank ass stare like he was not even there. So sometimes that could get on your skin, like, hey, are you listening to me? You know, kind of thing. But Sean, maybe he's a different kind of guy. He's more active. He's more yes sir, no sir. He's just he's young and he's just a different athlete. And we saw how Dalton turned out. So with that being said, treating them different don't mean anything besides, hey, two quarterbacks we had, they used to throw picks from the beginning, and I wanted to throw freaking Boykins at my damn self, and you see what that turned out. It turned out great. Now, for both quarterbacks, it's going to be the same with Sean. We just need to give him time. We got to let our coaches be great because that's what we're used to, and we got to let these guys rally, and we got to hope they rally now. Don't get me wrong, because as we talked about at the beginning of the season when we started this, we have a lot of holes, guys. We have a lot of people. Young, we're young. We got people that's out. And this way, look, I hadn't put a report yet. We may have some more people dinged up. So, you know, as we need to get better, things can get worse due to health.
Well, Shannon's fired up tonight.
I got a couple. I got a couple things too. I think two things to Shannon's point too, and I think we forget this. But this is a better Texas team, and they've always had a pretty good defense, sure. And it's a much better defense this year. So we played Ohio State, who will very likely go to the playoffs, very likely be. Could possibly be the next national champion again. And then Texas, that has a great, we're going to find out by the end of the season that they probably have one of the best defense.
Yep.
One of the best defense in the Big 12, if not the nation. And then that will put everything in perspective that we're all freaking out about now. So we can just realize that those are two tough teams that we played and we should have beat them. So let's keep that there. Sure. However, I still believe Robinson's our guy. He just spiraled down the last half of Ohio State and continued. We scored one touchdown, you know, just like, oh, something. And that team, Sean and I were talking about this earlier. I think we can all agree that we were proud of TCU against Ohio State. I mean, they were electric. Yeah. Even when we lost, we were like, dang. I mean, they were fighting. They were emotional when they made good plays, emotional when they made bad plays. Saturday at UT, I swear, it was like they were all on some just – they were just so even-toned. You didn't see anybody getting too excited or too upset. And it's
so
like
– I wonder, Ryan, do you think the team walked through the area of UT that we did that
they,
was just
they were probably high on secondhand pot smoke. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that was
it. I was. I absolutely was when I got on the bus at the end.
I tell you what, they do keep that city weird. So, okay. Dubber, let's move on because I think we've dominated
the dead horse
talk.
Here.
Yeah, I think we have done that. So let's move on to Dubber, what you wanted to talk about, which was running backs, and this was another issue of the game on Saturday, and that we never really felt like we got the running game where we wanted it to be. But at the same time, we were still getting 3 or 4 yards, sometimes with Shewo, and then Anderson came in infrequently. And didn't quite do as well as he did against Ohio State. Now, granted, in Ohio State, he has that really long run that kind of padded his numbers. But, Dubber, you mentioned there's something up here with Anderson, and I kind of have to agree with you. Shannon, what do you think?
I don't know if we didn't know something. Meaning, was he hurt? Because you and I saw the same play where he hit around the left corner there towards us. Field for days. Usually when that guy sees that much field,
he's gone.
The defense closed on him so fast. I think he might have picked up 7 yards, if that. And I'm thinking, something's not right.
It was more like two.
Yeah. Either they're faster than we think, or something's wrong with him. And, you know, he's good enough to play. But we definitely didn't see the same running game as we're accustomed to, for sure. Anderson's our guy. I think he's the better all around back to get us that. Once we get past the line of scrimmage, he can give us that, you know, he can make plays on his own to give us, you know, a big pop. For some reason, I don't know why we didn't see that. Or was the game calling not to get, I don't think we gave him enough touches or tried to get him enough touches. I don't know if when he had the touches that he had, they felt he should have did something with. I don't know, but that, something was off with that situation on Saturday, and I can't put my hands on it, but it was not the Anderson we were accustomed to seeing playing on Saturday.
Dubber, is that what you saw on Saturday?
Well, that's what I saw, because, you know, personally, this is what I feel.
Oh, Dubber froze again.
I mean, they're totally talent-wise, overall speed, breakaway ability. And we've seen unbelievable. And for us not to use him, I kept thinking either two things had happened. Either one, he was in the doghouse, which Shannon would know more about that. Or two, he was probably banged up. And you never know with Patterson, because Patterson's never going to share that. Sure. You know, so you really don't know. But, you know, that took a lot away from our running game, because Shannon's right. You see, it, you know, well, even last week or the week before against Ohio State, he sees that little cut, he's gone. Or he's at least 25 yards down the field before somebody gets him. Sure. And, you know, there just wasn't nothing there. Hey, and Salo, I'm not saying anything bad about him. He's a good runner. He's a tough runner. He does great things for us. But Anderson's that it factor. I mean,
well, I
you
think
know,
with this offensive line, you need to have the guy with the it factor. Because I agree with that. Holes against, again, it's a really good defense. The two really good defensive lines that we've gone up against, you're not going to get 5, 6, 7 yards a pop like Texas was against us.
Right. Well, I felt like we played up front. Ohio State, we really played pretty well up front. Against Texas, we weren't opened up quite the hose that we did against Ohio State. And
we were a man down on the line against Texas, by the
way. Yeah, and I understand that, too. I understand that, too. But, you know, the it factor with Anderson just wasn't there. And that, you know, that, hey, that's tough. I mean, that, you know, to take that away from us, that's pretty tough. That breakaway, whatever you call it, and to be gone, I mean, that kind of hurt us.
Ryan, you think we didn't pound the ball enough in that game? Do you think we should have gone to the ground more to try to open that up later in the game?
Yes. I just think everything we were doing that game was not right, and we should have switched completely, turned an about face.
Well, then that brings up my next question, and that goes to play calling, specifically Cumbie. And Shannon, you made a comment about this earlier about, you know, hey, why are you doing these little east and west passes, these bubble screens, these wide receiver screens? And Shannon, you and I were talking about this. If you're going to do a wide receiver screen, don't throw Turpin wide out and expect him to block a bigger cornerback to try to get you yardage, because it's just not working out in that fashion. So right. My question is this. Is this team, is this offense, is the problem here the play calling? Is that what it boils down to, or is it still just inexperience? Shannon, what do you think?
Well, I ask you a question. Let me just ask a question right back at you. Besides the first drive, when we first started the game, we marched it all the way down within the 20 or within inside 20. We had to kick field goal, whatever the case would be. Besides that time, we looked really sharp. Did we ever look that sharp again for drive after drive to get several first downs in a row? I mean,
well, and that drive was scripted. So,
My point being, when things, I get it. I get what he's trying to do. I get it. We have a lot of weapons. We have a lot of fast guys. But if you saw a lot of the times, when I say high risk, high reward, remember there's a couple plays that will stick out to you guys. Well, he throws the ball straight down the line, but it's in front of the receiver, and our other receivers are missing blocks. So when you miss a block, when the ball is on a rope that close to a defender, it gives the receiver no room to run. He can't even make a move because the defender, the DB's in his face already. So as we got more into the game with those type of plays, that's how Sean kept throwing the ball. And so we may have gotten a 1 yard, if that sometimes. My point being is, why not run the ball in those situations? Why not just hurry up and run the ball, put your big on big, and let's go straight ahead? Because sometimes it's when those guys are that fast, which we stated, you got to beat them straight ahead. You can't keep going east and west. You got to beat them between the tackles. You got to beat them head up. So is it? I'm not crying all the way around about the play calling about Cumbie. I'm just saying we have to figure out what's high risk, what are plays that we're running with at a high percentage that are working for us versus the ones that are not. I could care less, guys, if we saw a shovel pass again. Let's admit. I mean, we can put another play in for that one. Couldn't we agree that we could probably put another play in for the shovel pass? Listen,
short side option.
It is what it is. I mean, oh my God, did that work? I mean,
well, hey, it might work against Oklahoma. Did you see what Army did?
Yes.
Bring back the triple option.
But anyway, again, listen, I'm personally not panicking about none of it. But the truth is the truth. The facts are the facts. We have some issues that we have to bring together, but it's quarterback play with offensive coordinator play. All right. Calling. We have to bring it together and kind of work that thing out.
I want to ask Shannon a question. Shannon?
Yes, sir.
The thing that probably drives me crazy more than anything is physically up front, I think we're pretty good. I think we can run the ball. I think we can do a lot. The trick plays, I want to get rid of them. I mean, it's driving me crazy.
Well, you don't like the Turpin pass for an interception play?
Every trick play we run, it just seems like it's terrible for us. And you know what? I can understand 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we might have needed that because we weren't quite up to stuff on the offensive line or whatever, or maybe skill position, all of it maybe. Mm-hmm. But well,
my thought with that is, WC, like I told Sean in the booth.
You believe? Don't you believe?
What was that, Shannon?
We can get up and play against people, can't we?
Like I told Sean in the booth, when I grew up, when you ran trick plays, you were in trouble. You needed to come from behind or you needed to figure out a way to win, kind of like the old Boise situation. So when I saw that play, I told myself, we're in trouble. Because if we're running those type of plays so early in the game, then we may have some confidence issues or whatever the case may be. But to me, if you can't line up and just kick somebody's butt with the game plan and that's just to call your plays – and we got to start running trick plays, to me, you're kind of in trouble already.
Well, Ryan, do you think that's just indicative of the play calling, or do you think that's just because we just weren't able to get things done because, again, pot haze?
Well, I think we needed – I'm with you. When I see teams – I mean, it's like the SMUs. I mean, they'll be good one day again, but right now they play a lot of trick plays, and you just know it's because that's all they've got. That's all they have because they can't play, they can't hang with us, right? So when I see those trick plays, I kind of think the same thing. I do think our offense is good. What I think they're using them for personally is to freaking light a match, change the energy in there, do something. We need something because clearly our offense just cannot get going. And so they're like, you know what? If we can just get Turpin to take the ball down to the end zone, just change it up and just get some fire lit underneath our rear ends, then maybe something will change. I think we're a good team. We don't need the trick plays, but I think they use them to hopefully, I don't know. Well, didn't work.
So. Speaking of good things about this team, I know the score doesn't indicate it, but one of the areas that I was kind of impressed with, at least for the first three quarters, was the defense. Because for the second week in a row, the defense has been expected to be on the field for the majority of the game. Defense has been able to had to run out after several three and outs and turnovers, mm-hmm. and after getting a pick six or after having a stop and then having the offense immediately make another mistake and turn the ball back over again. And it just seems like, Shannon, we talked about this before, it just looked like this team, this defense, unfortunately, just kind of ran out of gas at the end, which is really not necessarily their fault. No. But as a defensive guy, what did you see out of this defense against Texas?
Listen, again, they kept us in the game. Like you talk about the score until the dam broke. I mean, after that, it was just, it was pretty much over at the end anyway. But the guys had several three and outs. I mean, key three and outs had a drive where they stopped and the guy missed the field goal. That could have been points, but it was not. But the bottom line is when your defense is giving you everything they got, you've got to find a way to score. You've got to find a way to put some drives together to keep them off the field. I remember they had two or three drives in a row. They get the ball back for the offense. We go and we throw a quick pick, and they're right back out there.
Hey, Shannon. What does that do to a defense? I mean, your defense is – I mean, are they pissed off at the offense at that point in the game, or how does that work?
Well, here's the mindset of it. As defensive players, because we're ranked defensive guys, we love to be on the field. But at times, we're like, we need to score. And so we're going to try to get you the ball back as many times as we can. But at some point, you got to now help us out. Mm-hmm. And when I say help you out, even if you don't score, give us a breather. Mm-hmm. Give us a breather. That's all we're asking. Give us a time to get back out there and do what we do to try to be great. But if we're out of win, and even those backups, we're rotating. We run a rotating defense. If everybody's out of win, you will see what you saw Saturday. The dam will break, and it's nothing you can do to fix it.
I will say one of the positive things. You tell me what you think. I thought a pass rush came on. I mean, I thought last week it was okay, but I thought this week our pass rush was a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
I thought we pressured. I mean, we got some sacks. We hit him. We did a lot of good things there. I mean, I thought one big positive we had. I thought, you know, just because we hit the pass rush big time, I thought that was I really thought that was a big positive.
No, and with that being said, you know, and I have to just report the truth, we were a second too late every time. If you look at a lot of big throws in first downs, we were just about to give him a blow, and he gets rid of the ball, completes it. I mean, we were just right there. And again, that's it. Just is what it is. It's football, but it's like six or seven times we had him, or we're just about to hit him. He gets rid of the ball, completes a first or a big play, and it kind of, and again, plays like that takes the win out of the front
well,
six.
Well, what I saw was that the secondary that was on the secondary. Because the front line was doing their job. You could not have asked for more pressure out of a front line if you had scripted it yourself. Because they were one step away, like you said, Dubber, every single time, just one step away. And that just to me, that kind of goes back to that, you know, when you're dealing with that sort of a defense, Shannon, those guys, those corners, those safeties, that takes a couple of years to kind of get into the rhythm and know where you need to be in space and where you need to be on the field. And that was the problem. A lot of those guys were 2-3 yards away from where they needed to be. They were off of their spot. And if they were on their spot, different game.
Yeah. And you know, we called it in the booth. Our corner play was really okay. This was probably the worst week for corner play. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I'd agree. Yeah Lewis did. I don't know if have a good game.
Shannon, I wanted to ask you about that because probably the most disappointment I had on the defense was the corner play. You know, you got 6 yards. It's third and six. We give them 7 yards uncontested. I mean, and that went over. That probably happened 6-7 times in the game. And that's probably where I was more frustrated with our defense than anywhere was. Is that happen over and over again? And hey, from a defense standpoint, I mean, you probably have more insight on it than I do. It just didn't seem like we had the same tight coverage that we played the week before. So you tell me what you think.
Well, I wish I could tell you why our cornerbacks were not playing aggressive or giving so much cushion or what the problem was, but I can't tell you because I didn't understand it. Both sides.
I think it's mainly just because Texas has much faster players than Ohio State.
Right. Respect.
Yeah. So you're giving them the cushion because you need the cushion. Or because you're giving them cushion because these are young guys and they need the extra space in order to make up for any mistakes they may make. Or they need the time to be able to figure out what's happening. But in any event, I honestly think that if the secondary can grow up a lot quicker, this defense is going to be really good, even without Blacklock in at the line.
Oh, no doubt. Well, Jeff, that kind of shocked me, you know, with him because he's fast, he's aggressive, and you know, I wasn't understanding what was going on that side. I wasn't understanding his play. So as you respect somebody as a defense, you do have to get up and say, okay, you know, I'm good, he's good, you know, we're both fast. You still have, and again, if that's a coach's call, that's a coach's call. But Gary doesn't play scared. He doesn't call his play calling scared. No matter what you guys saw or we all saw with the punt, when it comes to his defense, you know, he's the coordinator there and the head coach. So that's a head coach decision to punt it. But when it comes to the defense, he's an aggressive type of guy, especially with the corner play, because he knows he has guys up front who's going to get to the quarterback. So I don't know. It was just an off day for us, maybe.
Well, that's the whole deal is our, you know, the way our defense being good is our corner play. If they can cover guys 1-on-1 tight, we got a really good shot. And I think that's what showed out Ohio State. I was proud of them. Yeah. But this week, it's like they took a step back. Maybe it was respect. Maybe it was whatever. But we just – it wasn't that they didn't make plays because they made plays, but we let them make the play before we made the play. if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, to me it was, you know, Gary always talks about putting these guys out on an island. And I think 2 weeks ago against Ohio State, those guys were king of the island. And
last week
in UT, they were in their lounge chairs out on the beach with a Mai Tai.
And I think our youth just showed.
Yeah, I think that's just what happened. But Shannon, last thing we want to talk about in this game, because Shannon just brought it up, so a good segue, is the punt in the fourth quarter. This has become a big thing, and I don't think it's that big of a thing, but let me lay out what I think Patterson was doing in the fourth quarter. And he reiterated some of this. He didn't really touch a lot of it in his post-game press conference, but I think what he said kind of mirrors my thoughts on this exactly. And then let me get your guys' thoughts on this. So we're a little over three minutes left to go in the game. We got two timeouts. We're down two scores. We have a fourth down. We are deep in our own territory, I think around the 30-yard line. And with a fourth down, and Gary elects to punt on a fourth and it was fourth and four, or fourth and five. And I've heard a lot of Frog fans say that was a give up play, that was a surrender play, that was a quit, that was terrible. Now, if we were on their 40, I could see that. I could see that point of view. But for me, when you're on your 30 and your defense hasn't really had much of a chance to have a break, you're that late, you know your quarterback is having problems. We knew he was injured. You punt the ball away, you take your two timeouts, you trust your defense to stop them and keep points off the board to make it even worse. And then hopefully, I don't know, maybe something will happen, but you're down two scores, your offense isn't doing anything anyway. So why force the issue and give the ball back to Tom Herman and Texas deep in your end of the zone and stop you on a fourth down? Then momentum's completely dead. And then they have an easy field goal or possible 7 points after that. What do you all think about that?
I'll go first because I'll be short. I agree with you, Sean. I think the offense had scored one touchdown the whole game. They were nosediving
three field goals. Song did a good job.
Right.
Three or four.
Song scored the most points out of everybody. There's no way the offense was going to do anything. His poor defense shouldn't have had two scores on them, but it was because of our offense putting them in their offense in good field position to score or kick a field goal, and they would have been right back in that situation. Unfortunately, what I haven't seen from this defense this year, which we're used to seeing, is the defense causing, you know, a fumble or more interceptions. And I'd like to see a little bit more of that. And maybe it would have been awesome had that happened, but it didn't. But I think that's what he's going for. He didn't want more points put up on his defense either. So I think that those both go hand in hand. Offense is failing. Defense has a better shot at it. And don't let them score more points, because it was a beating.
All right, guys.
So
what do you think?
That's my opinion.
All right, I'll be next, because I'll let Shannon go ahead and overturn what I have to say. Now, I mean, you know what? As an offensive player, and Shannon's a defensive player. That's why I say that only. As an offensive player, at that point in time in the game, I think I got to keep the ball. Right. I've got to be able to make, you know what? So you get beat by 11, or you get beat by 18, or you get beat by 14. Who gives a crap? And so in my mind, as an offensive player, you can't score. Without scoring, you can't. You know what? It's like every week things happen. And how quick did the Ohio State game change for us with one score? How quick does things change with the one score? You know, we score one time real quick. You know, in my mind, it changes the complexion. You know, we got a chance. But Patterson's the defensive guy.
Right.
So I'm not saying he's thinking, hey, I punt, we stop them, blah, 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 this and that. Personally, for me, I just didn't like the call because I want the offense to have the opportunity. If we get beat by 11 or we get beat by 14 or we get beat by 18,
well,
it doesn't
in that case, it would have been 18 or 22.
Okay.
But let me ask you this. Let's play devil's advocate. Hold on. Let me play devil's advocate. So we were at the 30, and you think we should have gone for it. What if we were on our 15?
You only got 2 minutes and something left in the game.
Three something, right?
Yeah, or three something. You got to go for it. In my mind, you got two scores. Okay, maybe way back then, maybe. But I'm just telling you, I'm an offensive guy. If you got a punt, you don't have a chance. That's just my personal opinion.
Oh, I agree. And, you can't win if you don't.
And you know
have
what?
Ball.
It's real easy for me to say that right now because that's how it turned out.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, you know, the defense could have stopped. We could have got the ball back. We could have scored quick. Blah, 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 blah. You know, that's why it's all an opinion. But I'm an offensive guy. So I want the ball. I want a chance to be able to make the first down.
See, and now I feel that the defensive guy is going to agree with you. So
I don't know if he is or isn't. But all
he's
I'm
shaking his
is,
head like he is, Shannon.
All I'm saying is that's my personal opinion. And you know what? I understand because if you're a good defensive group like they are, your thought is we can stop them in three. You know, make them punt. And
he
I don't
did,
care.
By the way.
And you know what? I don't care if it's happened all day or not. I don't care if we scored all day or not. You say you're going to do that. What, you know, you're going to jump out and score. You're jump out and stop them. Shannon, that's just my personal opinion.
Shannon, what do you think?
WC, I'm telling you right now, brother, I'm going to agree with you.
Told you.
The football me, I'm going to come from two sides of this. The football me, if we're going to lose, let's go out with the guns a-blazing.
Yep.
Sean, if you remember when he did that, I was like, whoa.
Oh, we both felt deflated the minute
so,
that happened. Yeah.
And you're not, and you were not, and I love what you said a while ago, Sean, too, because that my enemy is going to say that. So we're good on that. But as a player, and it's time to win a ball game, and listen, we're dead anyway. I'm a type of dude, you're just going to have to kill me. We're not going to fight. I'm going to take a black eye. No, you're just going to have to knock me out because I'm going to keep fighting. So with the football mindset, we got to go for that. From a defensive standpoint, trust me, we're on the sideline saying go for it. Go for it. We got it. No matter how winded we are, because here's the thing. The defense, for the most part, like we stated before, was they had several three and outs. I forget. I don't have the stat sheet from me. But we had several three and outs.
And a couple four and outs.
Thank you. And so at that time, it's like all or nothing. 3 minutes left. Sean, you've called some, and I won't say what those calls were, but we've made some calls and predictions. In the very next play, something happened.
Yeah.
So
we're not going to mention the one that
we're
I
not,
get up.
No, we're not going to. We're not going to go down. But – but they've happened, and they've happened twice in two games. We've done this.
Yep.
So I'm with WC on this. You got to go for what you know. And lastly, I forget who the analyst was coming out of the elevator after the game. He's a pro. I forgot pro guy. You probably remember the quarterback. I think he works for Fox or somebody. But he comes off the he comes out of the booth, and he's saying, as a player, I'm pissed. And he was talking to a TCU guy who works for TCU, and I'm just listening. And I was eating my cookie. And he says, as
good cookie,
a player, I'm
way.
Pissed. Yeah, Tiffany Treats. Plug.
not a paid sponsorship, said, by the way.
He's saying he should have went for it because as a player, and he's just kind of, I mean, he's given his opinion as a player now that he's off air. He's saying, you got to go for that. As a quarterback, as an offensive guy, I think, and his exact words were, I think you let your team down. Your team is pissed at you when you don't do those kind of things. And I thought that, I was like, we were feeling the same way at the moment. But, Sean, to your point, if I'm more the other hat, you do punt it. You see what happens. You go three and out, and you give your offense maybe a minute or so to try to get a score. You want to play to the end.
Well, that, and then right call, after that, they brought in Collins. So it was like, what was even the point? Why even do that? Right. Well, then we found out afterwards Robinson was hurt. So, you know, and that could have played into punting. It could have been a situation where they knew he was dinged up. Why force the issue at that point? You know, especially if you're trying to save your quarterback. But I agree on principle with you guys. I do agree on principle.
No.
I just think from an X's and O's standpoint, I think you got to punt that ball with the information as being an armchair quarterback, hindsight's 20/20. I think it was the right call at that time. I think, though, in the moment, it was the wrong call for any TCU fan to see.
Sure.
Oh, you're way too armchair, because today I still think I still think we should have went for it. I mean, I just
fair enough.
I mean,
I'm with you, Sean.
I don't think that's the right or wrong deal.
You know what? That's coming from the panel.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's coming from us because that's, you know.
Yeah. I will say, though, I was shocked initially. I was like, what the heck are we doing? But then I was like, oh, yeah, we wouldn't have gotten that. That would have sucked. So, I mean, like, I didn't even know.
It was 4 yards.
Yeah, I couldn't even get one yard one time.
Well, we had to get at least six yards in the previous two plays.
All right, so what do you think Cumbie would have called in that situation? A bubble pass, a wide receiver screen?
Well, you're right.
Or a handoff. To try to throw an interception, one of those things.
Do I think we would have gotten it against Ohio State? Absolutely. You know, like different Saturday, but that team could not do crap on Saturday. Well, nothing.
Sean, do you know our average? What we average right now? Okay, let's go off average, because if we average 3 to 4 yards a carry, then
we were averaging somewhere around 3.
It was somewhere around, and that's at the time, because I had the information in front of me. That's what I felt, that we could have ran between the tackles or you know, mustered up some type of play where we could run for hand, be it Sean Hurt or whatever, you hand the ball off to somebody and go get
whatever. Right. Well, and part of that average, though, was kind of padded a little bit because Robinson had a couple of really big runs, and he was our top rusher, I think, at halftime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, some of that's padded. So, Shewo was having a difficult time. Anderson was having an even more difficult time. But, you know, again, who knows what would have happened if we could all get in our DeLoreans and go back in time and tell Patterson, nope, go for it. We want to see what happens here. Who knows what may have transpired. But in any event, the outcome is going to be the same. Unfortunately, the Frogs lose to Texas, and we get to hear about it from the ugly burnt orange wearing fans for the next, I don't know, oh, shoot, another year? No, until we play baseball, right? And basketball. We can beat them in basketball. And break that. What were you calling it, Ryan? The Delcani curse?
Oh, yeah, I can't believe it is. And that is, I'm serious about that.
I'm sorry I bring that up. I don't want to make that a thing. No, I'm just saying.
I think it's great because it's just going to last this one game. He beat us in basketball. He beat us in baseball. And then he beat us in football. It's done. We're done. Like, we're back, starting with basketball for 2019. It's over, done with. It was a fluke. Yeah, we're back this weekend. We're all griping and.
Well, we are back this weekend, and we're back at home against Iowa State, and we want to talk a little bit about this game, and we'll do predictions at the end. But before we start, we do have a special announcement for all of you Frog fans who like to get up at halftime and go out and tailgate and party. You may want to stay in your seats. And why is that, Ryan?
Because Pat Green is going to come out there and sing after both bands perform. So stay out there and listen. He is absolutely committed, right? I did say that right, right?
No, not Pat Green.
Not Pat Green.
Lee Greenwood.
Lee Greenwood. I was like, who the heck is Pat Green? I was like, wait a minute. He doesn't sing that.
I set you up perfectly for that, and then you get the guy's name wrong.
You know me. I can't be put on the spot. I get names mixed up. I had Green Lee in my Greenwood. Head. Oh, anyway, yes, Lee Greenwood.
And I'm proud.
So he's going to come out there and sing. Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
Bad guy.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be a good halftime show.
It will be. It will be very good.
So, but
hey, it's Parents Weekend, and it's also the weekend for the new inductees of the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right. So you got to stay for halftime because that's just going to be that. There's your festivities. So that's going to be a lot of fun. But let's talk a little bit about Iowa State, because obviously to get to halftime, we have to get through the first half, and then hopefully everyone will stay through the second half. Iowa State is improved defensively this year. Offensively, though, I think they're a team looking for an identity. I think this offense is going to kind of be on par with what we saw out of SMU. What do you guys think about this matchup defensively and offensively for the Frogs, especially coming after these two heartbreaking losses to Ohio State and Texas? WC, what do you think?
Well, you know, I will say one thing. They played the second string quarterback, and he played pretty well. And so I think it's like every week. I don't think we're good enough to make mistakes and win. So I think we're going to have to play good, and we're going to have to cut out the mistakes. And, I think like you said, China, I think they're really good defensively. I think offensively they could cause us some problems because they have big receivers. They love to do that. They love to throw it up to those big receivers. And, if we don't come ready to play, it'll be a long day. I mean, I think I got a lot of respect for the Iowa State coach. I think he does a pretty good job, and I think he's going to be in every game this year.
Well, this
and
was definitely one of the games earlier on that I had circled that I was worried about.
Yep.
Because
yep.
Iowa State's one of those teams I can just reach up and just grab you. And Shannon, yep. What do you think? Do you think this is going to be a difficult test for the Frogs?
Well, I'm going to say this to you. You might want to go back and circle every game, because if we play like we play Saturday, every game in the true. Big 12.
Exactly, bro.
Listen, yeah. I wish after Saturday, listen, Ohio State, again, we left feeling like, you know what, we're going to be okay and we have a team. Then this past Saturday, we see something totally different than what we saw the week before. So then at least we sit thinking, can we play to the level we played on against Ohio State consistently? And if we can, hey, we can run the table, in my opinion. But if we don't, a team like this coming in on Saturday at home will give us the blues on a very special weekend. And it's just the fact of the matter, they're going to play just like Texas played. Those guys, they have an 8-game winning streak on the road from last year. They play well on the road. The defense is stoked. They're holding, I think they're only giving up 21 points a game. And in the Big 12, guys, you know that's good.
Well, I think that road streak is only in conference, because they did lose to Iowa earlier in the year.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So my point is, if we don't just play like we're accustomed to playing, if we don't have a good week of practice, if we don't iron out some things and not turn, and, you know, we got to cut out the turnovers the best of our ability, we'll be okay. Okay. But this team here, I'm telling you, they scare me, and I'm with you. This is one of the teams, this team, and obviously West Virginia is one I had circled that I was worried about. Obviously, going to playing West Virginia at home is always it's going to be a game regardless. But this team scares me as well. They're playing well on defense, like I said, and you know I'm just more worried about us. As I'm giving these guys credit, I'm really worried about our play, like how we keep stubbing our toe. You know, again, I made this point Saturday. We have not lined up yet, and the team just beat our ass. Excuse my language. That has not happened. That has not happened with, hey, let's go toe-to-toe, good on good, without the mistakes, and let's see who wins. That hadn't happened to me. Personally, TCU has cost those – the game has been on them, if I can say that. I think even with Texas being better, I think the decisions, some of the things we made, even though defense was getting us out of some holes, we cost ourselves a stone. And when people play us at a high level – it's not going to be enough.
We talked about earlier. If you just remove the turnovers, those two losses are wins.
Yeah.
And so, Ryan, what do you think? Do you think we're going to see another mistake-prone TCU team? The youthfulness going to kind of continue into this week, or do you think this is the turning point? This is the time where they can kind of bring stuff together.
Well, I'm with Shannon on this one. Who knows, right? I think they will bounce back, and I think we're going to have a great rest of the season. If they don't bounce back, I think the rest of the season is going to suck, because I don't think they ever will bounce back. We might get lucky with one or two games, but this is the deciding game for me, in my mind, whether they're mentally tough or they've got to grow up some more. The other part about Iowa State is, you know, they didn't just beat us last year. They beat us one other time at home. I don't remember which year it was in the Big 12. But
that was back during Boykin's first year.
Yeah. So it's not crazy for them. It's not out of the ordinary for them to beat us, you know? So if this is another first year for a quarterback, and crazier things have happened, but I still have hope that it was the Del Conte curse, and we're going to be back, and it's going to be a hell of a season. So.
All right.
I don't necessarily think that win or lose, I think we're playing with some young guys, and it sort of goes up and down. But I do agree with both of them that if we don't play good, we're in trouble. But I don't necessarily know if that wipes out our year. I think we're young. I think we make some silly mistakes. If we cut them back, I guess that's probably the most frustrating thing as an ex-player is I look at it and think we could be undefeated today. If we just cut out this, nobody's really beat us yet. We beat ourselves twice. And that's probably the hardest thing. That's probably the hardest thing to swallow is knowing that we beat ourselves twice and not thinking that, you know, because, you know, at times, hey, you say what you want to. You like Baker Mayfield, you not like him. Last year, they were just better than us. This year,
better than everybody.
Yeah, they were better than everybody.
Yeah.
And you know what? This year, we've lost two games that we shouldn't have lost if we cut out the mistakes. And you know what? That just has some to do with being a young team. And that's probably the most frustrating thing is knowing that if you just cut out half of the mistakes, we probably win both the games.
Right.
But when we have the mistakes we've had, I don't care how good you are, it's hard to recover from that. So if we play decently mistake-free, then we're okay. But if we don't, we have a chance to lose. But I tell you what's so bad about our mistake. We give up 21 points. Our offense has scored 21 points for the other team this year. That is tough right there.
Yeah.
That's not on the defense. And I don't mean it bad against us. It's just true. I mean, it's hard to rebound from that.
It is. But they're going to have to find a way to rebound. And let's go ahead and let's talk about score predictions. Ryan, let's start with you. What is your score prediction for this Saturday's night game against Iowa State?
Come on, Ryan.
I'm going to go 24-10.
Oh, my gosh.
24.
Ryan, come on. Ryan.
All right, Dubber, what do you have then?
It's 35-10.
35-10.
No, let me. 35-7.
Wow. Yeah, you're really.
I mean,
okay.
I was saying we're going to score three touchdowns. That's all.
Hey, 35-7.
I hope you're right.
35-7. So 24-10, 35-7.
I still think our defense is that good. We cut out the mistakes, we scored 35.
Well, yeah, and here's the other deal is I have like had given them way too much credit all these weeks, and so I'm going low this time.
Hey, you know what? A win's a win.
Whether
it's your score or my score, a win's a win.
All right, Shannon, what do you have as the score for the game this Saturday?
So I'm going all the way fan. I'm going all the way TCU football player. I'm not biased all the way. Yes, I'm seeing it. We're going to give up 7 points. We're going to give up 10 points. It'll be a field goal. No, we'll give one touchdown up this weekend. But this is the week that Sean Robinson plays the perfect game, and he's going to come out on fire. We're going 41. When I say 41-10.
Woo! Let's do it.
Hey, I'm right there with you, Shannon. 35-7, 41-10. That's what I'm talking about.
Get us off his back. He's going to say he's going to shut us up. He's going to shut the world up. This young man's going to play. That's the attitude I'm having for the end of this show. I'm going to keep that fire going all the way to Saturday, baby.
Great job.
I like it.
Perfect. I love it. I love it.
I like it. I don't know if I can follow that, but I like it.
All right. What are you going, Sean?
Well, originally I was thinking 27-17. And mainly because I think that the youthfulness of this team is still there. But I think that defensively, I think we've got this game. Offensively, I think we still got some things to work out because I'm still not entirely sold on the fact that the play calling isn't 100%. It isn't part of the problem, in other words. I think that play calling is a bit of an issue. And until I see something otherwise, I'm not necessarily blaming the players as the fact that they're not executing a good game plan. I think that they're not executing an okay game plan. I think that's the problem. I think the game plan needs to be better, and I think Kemba needs to bring it. Now, if that changes and we don't see shovel passes and bubble passes and wide receiver screens and going left and right instead of north and south, then yeah, I'm with Shannon. Let's throw the points up. Let's blow out all the fireworks and let's have ourselves a party. But I haven't seen that yet. So I'm gonna tap the brakes a little bit. I'm gonna be on Ryan's side of the fence this week. Still a win, but I'm gonna say 27-17.
Cool.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope we get rid of all the fireworks. That'd be great.
Oh yeah,
it'd be wonderful.
It's a night game,
and it's a night game. Yeah, so that's great.
Hey, real quick too, I want to add to our calendar. We've got volleyball, which we already covered on Wednesday. Be there at 7. They play at 8. Then Gary Patterson has his luncheon at the Alumni Center. You can still register for that. Just go to gofrogs.com or call TCU and register, or come there that day and give them some money. I'm sure they won't turn you away. It's a great lunch. And then he's going to talk about Iowa State. It's always really, really good. And then Thursday night is back at Railhead for the Gary Patterson radio show. Ryan Estridge interviews him. Really, really good. They bring in a player. It's awesome. It starts at 6 o'clock. Get there early to get a table. Ends at 7.
Yep.
That's all I got right now.
All right. Well, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. We want to thank everybody for listening to us.
Wait. I got engaged.
I'm about to say congratulations. Yes. I'm about to say, come on.
Wait a minute. Hey, what are you burying the lead for?
Hey, I was going to ask that off the air. I saw that ring every once in a while.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, maybe yeah, I was like, we're not going to get off the air without saying this.
Mike finally put a ring on it.
Let me tell you. Woo-hoo. But let me tell you, for all y'all listening out there, he did it. He proposed. We went to Woodshed and we were eating, and we love on Sunday to go. We write all of our Frogs Wire articles, so go to frogswire.com. We're not journalists. We do have misspellings. We do have bad grammar sometimes bad punctuation.
Get to the good part.
It's good. So anyway, we write and it's fun. And then he was like, we had our dog with us. He's like, so you want to go up to the TCU campus and walk around? And I was like, I've been dating this guy for 3 years and he's never once asked me to do this. So I knew right then. I was like, he's going to propose.
What part of campus were you on when he proposed?
We went to the football field, of course. Went right down to the football field and he proposed and it was awesome.
On the 50?
All through the stadium. No, you know, they had these signs out that said, do not get on grass. So we felt like we should probably mind the signs. And so we went down to the grass just right on the I was sitting on the concrete. He did kneel down on one knee, and he got his knee wet, which was awesome. So he was on the grass, but definitely not on the 50. So
awesome.
We didn't want to set off any alarm to get arrested. So.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
The only thing is, have y'all ever been invited to the Sunday lunch?
No. This is the first I've heard of it.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard of it.
It's kind of weird.
Wait a minute.
Hey,
your posse.
I'm going to call you right now. Y'all got to write articles for Frogswire, and then I'll invite you.
Oh, it's a writer's meeting. Never mind, I'm out.
It's a writer's meeting.
Yeah,
I don't know a participle from a dangling
We drink and we eat all day long. It's super fun, and I'm not going to say that's why we might have
to write while I drink?
Is
that a thing? Okay, all right.
It's still fun.
All right. Well, and on that bombshell, we've come to the end of the podcast. So thanks, everybody who's out there listening to us. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. Of course, you can go to killerfrogs.com to listen to the podcast free online. And you can go and sign up for a free account and discuss TCU Athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. And also go to frogswire.com to read the latest news written by our own Ryan Zeller. And and you can also find us on social media.
And Mike.
And the future Mr. Ryan Zeller. And you can also find us on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and all the different social media networks. And with that, I want to thank everybody again for listening to us. And it's a time for us to knuckle up and get to say...
Go Frogs!
Yay! Congratulations, Ryan.
Thanks.
Congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you.